Continue our study in the parables. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 13 with me. Matthew in chapter 13, and while you're turning there, I want you again to be much in prayer for the services this morning, the services tonight. Even tonight, by God's grace, there'll be much of the gospel presented here this evening. And it's just no telling what the Holy Spirit may take and use as far as salvation is concerned. We know that He will use the gospel message only. I mean, I don't believe in fairy tales. I don't believe in short stories or anything like that behind the pulpit. I don't believe in, I just don't believe in anything outside the gospel message bringing salvation. Matter of fact, it's what God says. His word says that's the only means by which men are saved today. That is through the preaching of the glorious gospel. And as we look into this study tonight of the wheat and the tares, we will see just exactly that. I know that as we go through life, as a church family goes through its existence, many times there are people who come into the house of God who never really produce any fruit, who never show forth salvation by yielding much fruit. As the Bible declares, one that's truly saved will do just that. They will bear fruit. Number one, because the Bible says that we are preordained to do just that, to produce good works. That's what it means to produce fruit. You know, and a tare does not produce anything that's beneficial. As a matter of fact, the tares do nothing but harm a crop. Tares take up the substance that the wheat should be getting. Tares take up that element in the ground, so to speak, the good soil that wheat needs to produce itself good works. So, when we are looking at the wheat and the tares, and you have to understand that even today, you know, this parable that Jesus Christ brought forth here in chapter 13 on the wheat and the tares as you began in verse 24 through 30, this was a real happening in that day. And believe it or not, it is a real problem in some countries today where men will come in behind the sower and they'll sow something that is not good for the crop that has been sown. This is to cause destruction and to harm the field which this individual, it could be a farmer who is contending for the same money as another individual. And he's sowing that bad seed. And he's trying his best to disrupt and destroy a crop so that he can have all that he wants. That is an actual problem even today in some countries. The very same thing was going on in the days of Christ. The Bible says here, in another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. I think that's a very important phrase to get a hold of there. This was sown in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? I mean, honestly, now it's kind of one of them far out questions you want to ask a farmer that spent all his day sweating, working hard in the field. Why else would he not want to have the best, very best seed in the ground? He don't want to do it again. And you don't want to go over this again. He wants it done right the first time. And this question came forth here. Did not thou sow good seed in your field? From whence then hath it tares? How is it that all of a sudden there's some bad seed in the mix? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we will go and gather them up? Now, get the picture here. You guys know what it is to go out and sow a field down. Maybe you're doing a hay field or something, and or something to that nature where the ground is covered with your seed. And now as you look out over that ground, there's some good green grass or whatever it is that you've sown has come up. But also in the mix of that good green grass, well, I'll tell you what it's like, Brother Jamie. It's just about like somebody working their yard up just right, getting the ground just right, and sowing some of the prettiest bluegrass or whatever it is that you would want to have there. And it's just like somebody coming in behind you and sowing crabgrass. Boy, I tell you, it comes up, it comes right up with the grass, the good grass. But I want you to know that stuff is aggravating. I mean, it's aggravating and it will choke out the good grass. You see what I'm saying? This goes on. And this was going on in this parable here. They had sprung up together. And the question was asked, do you want us to go in and start pulling out all the tares? Well, if they was going to be able to do that, they would be trampling all over all the good grass, wouldn't they? They would be tromping down all the good fresh seedlings that come up that he wanted, and there'd been much destruction there. Verse 30 says, let both grow together until harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What a wonderful thought here, folks. I'm telling you, this is something that is encouraging to us. Even this very end, verse of Scripture, the very last sentence there, where Jesus Christ is saying he wants things gathered into his barn, into his abode, where he lives, where he can provide. God bless His Word. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before Your throne this evening, we do so with thankful hearts. Thankful, dear God, that You have, in Your own will, and in Your own way, You have provided the good wheat. But Lord, we understand that in every good wheat field, there are tares that come up from time to time. Father, I pray that there be no tares in this wheat field. But Lord, we know according to time and according to history that there are tares that spring up in every little church all over this world. Every field where the true sower has gone forth to sow the good seed, Satan also has come forth to put in the bad. But Lord, I pray that You'll bless us this evening. Make our minds subtle, Lord. Make our minds to where we can understand. Father, help me as a pastor. Give me freedom of speech and power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, open the minds of Your people. But dear God, I pray that You would impress upon the minds of the lost around us the need, dear God, to be saved by Your grace. And Father, if there be one in this house tonight who has made even a false profession, Lord, I pray that Your convicting power will rest upon them tonight. We know that that seed can be changed according to our will and good pleasure. Lord, bless in salvation this evening. Father, watch over us. Increase Thy word in our hearts and minds. Forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name, His sake that I pray. And amen. Again, we are dealing with the study of the parables, and this is our third lesson. And tonight we're covering the wheat and the tares, found in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Emmanuel, to our visiting friends, the parable before us tonight deals with the two different types of peoples in the world, and yes, even of the church. Many years ago, if you remember, I brought a message, believers make believers and pretenders. And such is our study even tonight. God's word teaches us that yes, indeed, inevitably, there will always be mix of believers and unbelievers in all societies. We will see tonight just how God deals with such a phenomenon. And may God's word this very evening cause all hearers to examine ourselves appropriately and assuredly. You know, I go back to what is said in 2 Peter in chapter 1. In 2 Peter in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence." In other words, make a surety. I mean, when we're talking about life and death here, folks, we're talking about salvation or not. All over this world tonight, in churches all across this globe, there are members who are not truly saved by the grace of God. That happens. These are the tares. These are those whom the devil has blinded their eyes and has even caused them, even in their lost condition, to believe that they're all right just because they're a church member. Or just because they've been baptized. Or just because somebody said something to them that caused them to think that they were saved. You know what really makes the difference in salvation is when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. When the Holy Spirit says unto you, "Come unto me." That, my friend, is where true wheat is born. The Bible teaches us that, listen, even here in this scripture that I just read, the Bible says to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Make your calling and election sure. Listen, I want you to know, I make no bones about it. I would rather you know for a fact that you're saved than to have questions in the back of your mind. I want you to know that, as I said this morning in the scripture that is found in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. Now, there are those in this world tonight who swear to goodness that they're saved, and yet they do not know it in their own hearts. These are individuals who are absolutely overwhelmed with all kinds of different feelings and emotions. These are they who often rather than not, as they shake your hand, you can feel the fear in their hand. Because they just don't know for sure. Don't you want to know? Takes us back to our message this morning. Don't you want to know for sure? That you're a wheat, a good germ wheat that's going to produce fruit? Or are you just a make-believer? Are you a pretender? Are you one who has laid claim to salvation but yet does not know it? You know, don't you? Every individual in this house tonight who has laid claim to the Lord Jesus Christ knows in their heart of hearts that they have true salvation. But I want to break this text down just a little bit for us this evening. I want to kind of just slowly go into it, and I want you to think about it. Who is the man that sows here? First of all, who is this man that sowed? In our opening study of the parables, in the parable of the sower, we discovered that Jesus Christ and all the believers are those that go forth and sow the precious seed. Here, however, he sowed in his own field. Now look at this with me again in verse 24 of our text in Matthew 13 and 24. The Bible says this, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." This shows us this is none other than the very Son of God. He has come forth into His own creation to sow good seed in His own field. You know, I go back to the text that I was in this morning in John chapter 1. And here again, we read this text. And here the Bible says in these first five verses, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In other words, where that light came in, darkness has to flee. Where true light ever comes in to an area, where real light comes in, listen, darkness leaves. Darkness cannot outdo light. Darkness cannot put light out. Listen, light stifles darkness though. Light overpowers darkness. And there is absolutely no possibility that darkness exists where light is. But I want you to know today, there's a lot of folks that are pretending to be of the light. There are a lot of folks today who say that they're saved by the grace of God who have absolutely no fruit to show forth the witness. What does God's Word say about that? Listen, the Bible says if you're truly one that's saved by the grace of God, you will bear forth much fruit. That's what God's Word says. Now, for just a moment, I want you to think about this now. In verse 10 of John 1, the Bible says He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." This is our Lord's world. And He has come to sow the good seed of salvation. Amen. The good seed of salvation. Now back in our text in Matthew 13 and 37, notice what it says here. The Bible says in verse 37, "And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Jesus Christ, my friend, is he that sows the good seed. Now, secondly, in verse 25, the Bible says, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, I want you to know this is not a derogatory statement at all. This is not in any way, in any means, meant to be derogatory that men slept. Listen, it is just like any church family. And it's just like when Jesus Christ came and he sowed the seed. Listen, the Bible says, "And while men slept." Now, for just a moment, I want you to think about this. Here we see, as has been the case down through the ages, there's always bad introduced to good. Now, stop for just a moment. Who is the enemy? Who is this enemy? It's Satan. It's the devil. It's the little d, devil. You know, in all of my writings, in all of my preaching, as I have wrote many, many hundreds and hundreds of sermons, I have never, ever lent any credence to the name of Satan or the devil. I know when you write a book or something and you submit it to the publisher, I mean, man, they want those errors fixed. They want that capitalized. Well, I won't do it. I will not do it. Of course, I ain't going to write no book or nothing, but I still am not going to put it down in my sermons. I don't want to add credence to the devil. The devil is the wicked one. He's the liar from the beginning, the Bible says. And the one thing that he wants to do is come in and cause disruption to the good field, to the good seed. He wants the good seed destroyed. He wants it maimed. He wants it hurt. He wants it stifled. He would love for us to go in and begin to start ripping up by the roots all the tares. And start pulling them out by the roots and bringing them to destruction. But you know what happens when we do that? We begin to tear up the good wheat. We began to mash down the good wheat that's in the field. And we began to as we're pulling up the tares, the roots are so close together that we began to disrupt the root of the good wheat. Listen, I want you to know that there are pretenders all over this world tonight. They are people that, and I believe this, I believe that there are people that are truly, really believe that they're saved because they have laid credence to some ideology, to some work, and they truly believe that because of such they're saved. People truly believe. You say, well, that makes all the difference in the world, don't it? Not according to God. Listen, even though they truly believe, they believe a lie and be damned. There are many in the world tonight who have come up under the teachings of all their forefathers before them. And their forefathers have taught them, listen, you're saved by doing your good deeds or paying so much to the church or being baptized into the church. They truly believe that has saved them. They truly believe that they find solace, not in Jesus Christ, but in what they've done. They're a tear. There are tares. You see, this enemy is none other than the devil himself, always going about introducing the imposter, the make-believer, the pretender. In verse 39, the very first part of that, the Bible says, "The enemy that sold them is the devil." Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus Christ opens the Word up right for us, just right along the same lines where He's opened it up in other ways? You know, the word devil is translated in the Greek as diablos, and it means false accuser. It means devil. It means a slanderer. And that's exactly what he is. He is no count. And all he's going to do is introduce chaos, destruction, and hurt and harm. The devil has always sown among the good seed that which looks, even acts like, who often carries with them the same traits, but indeed is an invasive seed, causing destruction and harm. It grows right alongside the true seed, oftentimes stifling the growth of the pre-existing seedlings. As the wheat sprang up and brought forth fruit, the sign of true seed, amen. I mean, folks, I want you to know, I really believe that those that are saved by the grace of God ought to show such, amen. I believe there ought to be fruit. I don't believe that the Lord saves you and just sets you in a pew to occasionally come into the house of God from time to time. I believe that the Lord saves you for you to produce fruit. Because the Bible says you're ordained to it. Look with me, if you will, to Ephesians for just a moment in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. Notice what it says here now. Take up your Bibles. Look at this. The Bible says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Real wheat, the real seedlings, produce fruit. Amen. God says, I'm ordained you to do it. You cannot sit there and say, well, there's nothing for me to do. There's a work for every Christian to do. There's a work for every born-again Christian to be performing, and you ought to be performing good deeds and good works. You ought to be fulfilling John 15. You remember that, don't you? Listen. Again, these tares do not produce good fruit. As a matter of fact, in John 15, let me go back there for just a moment. We've done that study here in John 15 many years ago. The Bible says in verses 1 through 6, "I am the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." I mean, hey folks, there ain't no question there. I mean, there's no middle ground here. There's no gray area. He says, if you don't bear fruit, my Father, He's going to purge you. As a matter of fact, he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Listen. As a matter of fact, I want you to think about it. The Bible declares in John 15:2 that where no fruit is, the branch is cut off. Now just for a moment, I want you to think when this cutting off takes place. It's not necessarily in the kingdom time. This day of grace which we are in now. But there's coming a time when that purging is going to take place. There's coming a time when the chaff is going to be blown by the very breath of Almighty. You see, at the stage of the winnowing. The chaff is blown forth when the very breath of God will take it away, because there's nothing there. You know, I was watching I'll tell you what it was. It was on a little house on the prairie. They were, you know, as when Charles had sown all the wheat and the hailstorm came and, you know, it beat it all down. Well, the ladies of the area all got together and they came in and they done what? They began to bring up that wheat. They had some good wheat there. And what was said was, in order to get, you know, the thrashing machine was not able to work this wheat, so they had to do the old-fashioned way by winnowing. And what they would do, they would gather the wheat into the baskets and they began to cast it up. And as the wind blew, it blew the chaff away. You know, there's coming a time when as the wheat's being sifted, as the winnowing begins to take place, that the very breath of God is going to blow away that which is not real, that which is not going to last. When that purging comes forth. You know, you go back to our text in Matthew 13. The Bible says in verse, I'll go ahead and skip along to verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest, in which is my last point, is the final judgment. The Bible says the harvest, let me get back up here now, and the harvest in verse 39 is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. Now, lastly, as we look into this, as we have just read, from verse 30, the Bible says, let both grow until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. Now, stop for just a moment and stop right there. So I've actually got a fourth point. But I want you to stop right there at that one point in verse 30. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible teaches us that this is the last judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible reads in verse 11, and I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the reaping time. This is the harvest time, and the reapers have gone forth, and now they stand are the shafts of tares that stand. The Bible says they stand before the great God of heaven. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You know what? The only ones that's going to be found written in the Lamb's book of life are the good seed. It's the good wheat. The tares are not going to be found nowhere in the book of life, but they're going to be cast into the fire, the everlasting fire. One day, all pretenders and make-believers And all Christ rejecters will be judged. You say, well, preacher, I don't want nobody to know that I made a false profession. Well, listen, I would rather to people know on this side than the other side. Amen. I wouldn't be ashamed of it if I'd known that I'd made a false profession of faith. Listen, I'd want to know right now, and I'd want you to know right now that I had been trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because if you wait to the other side, let me tell you something, everybody's going to know it anyhow. You're an imposter. There's going to be imposters. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, there's going to be many that will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know, there's going to be a lot of preachers split hell wide open. You know why? Because they truly was not of the good seed. Are you of the right seed tonight? Are you of the good seed? Are you the wheat? Or are you a tare? You know tonight, don't you? I'm talking to those of us that are in this house right now. You know without a shadow of a doubt right now where you stand with God. Are you saved by the grace of God? Do you know Him tonight? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you the good seed that's going forth, bearing forth much fruit? The Bible says in Malachi 4, chapter 4 and verse 1, For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. The chaff and the tares will be burned up one day. Oh, what a time of great separation. Will you be one of those that are gathered up? Will the reapers be coming for your soul? There's only one way to avoid that awful plight, and that's by coming to Christ tonight. For real. Right now, right where you're at. Know for a fact that you're the wheat. Make your calling and election sure. Know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved by the grace of God. And thou shalt be saved. You say, well, how, preacher? I read most of that this morning to you. I like to go back and use Romans 10. I love that little portion of Scripture. Where the Bible says in verse 8, listen, the word is nigh thee. Right now, the word is coming forth to your ears. You hear it. You hear Him say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy ears. You know where I want it to see? I want to see it in your heart. That's where it makes all the difference in the world. Listen tonight, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Friend, there is no easy believism there necessarily. It isn't like I'm trying to get you to come down and repeat a prayer after me, or just take notice of some intellectual history lesson. I want you to know that Jesus Christ came and died for you on the cross of Calvary, and I want you to trust Him tonight. How does that come about? It comes by faith. Well, how do you get faith? Romans 10, 17 says, for faith, right here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have heard the Word of God this very hour. How that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. Jesus Christ is the one who's going forth spreading that good seed into your heart tonight. Is it landing on good soil? Or is it hitting a stone cold hard heart? Is it hitting a place where pride has completely packed it in so tight that you cannot get nothing to it? come unto Him today. Lastly tonight, in Matthew 13 and 30, the Bible says in the very last part of that, but He will gather the wheat into My barn. What we see here is the gathering of the wheat. After the winnowing has been accomplished, the chaff and the tares are done and gone away with, the redeemed rejoice in heaven. John chapter 14, the Bible says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. We're going to His barn. I find that to be a very good country setting for a country church. Amen. There's nothing quite like an old barn, is there? I mean, it's a place to go and hide away and pray. It's a place to go and sit in the heat of the day. You sit in the entrance of a barnway, and son, I'll tell you what, you'll get a good breeze. If you need to cool down, that there's a good place to go, is in the entry of a barn. But He says, the reapers are going forth. The harvest is here. He's going to fill my barn. Folks, I'll tell you, those that are truly saved by the grace of God, they have proven so by their good works and their good deeds. Their fruit is there. When He comes a calling, we will go. We will go to be with Him where He is. I'll ask you this question tonight. How does this parable leave you? Are you sure tonight? Amen. Are you sure? Have you made your calling and election sure this hour? 2 Peter chapter 1 says we ought to in verse 10. Make your calling and election sure. Or are you only a pretender? Are you only, after all, just a tare? You see, the thing about the tares and the wheat, as they were coming up, they looked just alike. Those blades looked just alike. But there comes a point where the fruit begins to show itself, and the tares have no fruit. Where are you at tonight? Are you a tare? Listen, it'll come out one day. I would rather say that better now than then. Because then there is no turning back. The chaff and the tares will be burnt in a fire that'll go on for eternity. May God bless His word is our prayer. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, as we humbly come before Your throne at this hour, we do so with thankful hearts. Father, we thank You that it was You who sowed the good seed. And Father, how that even in our hearts tonight, that good seed is found, the good soul. Lord, if there be those in our house tonight who are actual tares, Father, I pray that even now You will reveal that unto them. Lord, that they may be beholders and partakers of the good seed. Father, I pray that You will bring salvation to the lost around us. And to those who are questioning even now in their hearts, Lord, give them assurance of salvation or save their souls. These things we ask in Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.